chapter 6. I love Jeremiah. It's always, for me, it's just so easy to read. I don't know why, but it's precious to me. I'm thankful that the Lord has done all these things, and He knew His thoughts of us before He ever taught us anything. Well, now we can have some hope. It's His doing. If it's my doing, I don't have any hope. I'll quit it. I'll give up. If it's His doing, we can have hope. And so here, we're going to look at tonight just verse 44 and verse 45. We'll stay right here. We won't be turning anywhere. And this is going to be on the list we're going to look at here in a few weeks. Here in a couple of weeks, the Lord's going to say, as we get to it in the Scriptures, He's going to say, "Doth this offend you? Doth this offend you?" What's this He's talking about? Everything He said up till then. And this is one of them. We're going to go through and look. I'm excited to it, but I can't miss this. It's too precious. What I'm going to have to say tonight is going to be real offensive to a lot of people. Natural man ain't going to like it. The child of God will say, "Amen." That don't offend me one bit in the world. God is holy. I like that. I can't come to Him. I know. He came to me. Yes, He did. He's going to keep me forever, no matter what. Amen. That don't offend me. Some people get really mad about that. 15,000, 20,000 did at this. But He says here, this is one of the things that was offensive. John 6:44. "No man can come unto me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." My whole life I was taught about God. Since I can remembering, true facts went into these ears. My whole life I was taught about God in truth. And then one day, I was taught by God. I'd heard this truth my whole life. Couldn't remember a time I didn't know it. I could tell you all about it. I argued for it. I took people to task. I sat down and showed them in the Scriptures. I wrote things like a fool. I was taught about God, and then one day I was taught by God. I sat right where you sit, and I nodded my head up and down, and I agreed to everything, and I argued against those that opposed true doctrine. All of my theology was accurate. It was straight as an arrow. And then God taught me. God sent a man. And through the preaching of that, he gave faith by hearing. It went into these ears. It went into that brain. That's where it always stopped. And this time it went down to the heart. He did something about it. I want to ask you 6 questions tonight, and I'll be brief. What is it to be taught of God? How needed is it to be taught of God? Can we make this on our own? Or is He really going to have to be the one that does it? What is the promise about being taught of God? Is it a sure thing? Will it come to pass? Is this really going to happen? Who does God teach? What's the lesson He teaches? And what are the results of being taught by God? I know we don't have 6 points, so I'll try to go quick. What is it to be taught of God? It's to have the truth of God, that He is the great I am. Not that there is a God, but that God is. He's everything He said He is. Have that revealed in my heart by God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost comes to you and you know He is. He is who He says He is. In order, that happens in order for us to truly get a hold of what we are. Sin. I'm not Him. However highly I can think of Him, that's how much more low I need to think of myself. That we know what we truly are, and that we know the one thing needful. That we see Christ high and lifted up. High and lifted up. Only God the Holy Spirit can do this. I cannot. I can have the best training regime. I can have curriculum. And I can anchor points. I know how to teach. I'm a certified instructor. I can make you memorize some acronyms and things. And we can get this in the head. I can do that. I can't put it in the heart. God the Holy Spirit has to. I may be the means used. Faithful pastors are the means that God uses. But we can't do it. The Spirit must. No one can do it for another. Parents can't do it for the babies. A loved one can't do it for another one. Husbands can't do it for wives. God the Holy Spirit must do this. This is being taught of God. Is having Him being the truth. He is revealed in our hearts. The Holy Ghost doing this. And that's an order for you who believe to have a true understanding of who we are and who Christ is. To do all that to show us what we are and our need of Him. It says in John 6:68, and Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We don't just believe that that's who You are. We're sure. That word sure, that means to know and to be thankful that you know it, to willfully agree with it. I believe You're the Christ, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that. God must make us truly come to know who and what we are and who and what Christ is. He must be the one that does it. Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Every thought you've ever had, I'll just dwell on these things, that you've been paid once a week, you ever got a paycheck once a week or once a month or once every 2 weeks, do you know that's against God's Word? You'll go to hell for that. You want to keep the law? You want to keep a Sabbath day? You better get paid every day. If you're hourly, you better get paid every day. Do you know that? That's foolishness, isn't it? To say, well, we're not totally bad. We couldn't be. Old grandma and grandpa, they're sweet as sugar. They couldn't be. What about our little children? Them old babies are precious. They are precious to us. We ought to take care of them. They come from the womb speaking lies. It's foolishness to man, unless God reveals it. I can preach this over and over and over and over again, and it will not be effectual unless God teaches His child. He's got to do it. If we're ever to learn, He must do the teaching. All right, secondly, this leads to the second point. It's necessary to be taught by God. Is it needed? It's necessary. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us why God's teaching His children is absolutely necessary. He tells us in verse 44. It says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Is he going to have to teach you? You can't come to him. The need for God to teach a sinner to come to Christ for salvation. The reason God does that, teaches us to come to Christ, is because we lack the ability to come to Christ. We can't come to him. Natural man cannot. It says, no man can come to me. We can't do it. Well, if we really want to? It hurts my heart to hear people say, well, I found Jesus. Was he lost? That's the biggest nonsense I've ever heard in my life. Well, I was saved under Satan, but then I come to know that you came to know the doctrines of grace. You did that? Or did God teach you? That's life and death, because it's against His Word. He said, no man can come to me. And He said, no man will. He says back in chapter 5, search the Scriptures. You go home and read your Bible. Because in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That man that died 400 years ago, if what he points out in the Scriptures ain't Christ and him crucified, he missed the mark. He missed it. Go read a shoot 'em up novel. Go read Louis L'Amour. It'll do you a whole lot good. A whole lot more good. It ain't going to do you no good if you miss him. He said, you search the Scriptures that there testify of me, and you will not come to me, that you may have life. We can't come to him, and we won't, because we want to find something to do. That's our nature. That's what we come into the world with a nature like that. Born of Adam, we are unable and unwilling to come to Christ for life. A saved sinner is one that's taught by God to come to Christ and is made willing to come to him. God don't save people and they just begrudgingly kicking rocks and I guess I'm saved now. No, you're happy about it. You'll willingly come to him. David wrote that. He said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You're going to be willing. A person that's not been taught of God will not be made willing and will not come to Christ for two reasons. The only reason they won't come to Christ, two reasons. They think too highly of themselves. I can do it. And they think too lowly of Christ. Either I can do it without him or he can't help me. I'm too far gone. That's self-righteous. That sounds like pity. That sounds like, oh, I'm just so pious. No, you ain't. You don't think highly enough of Christ. That's what it is. We must be taught who we are. I got to be taught who I am. And I have to get some understanding of what we are. We will. We don't have a full context of it, but we'll know we're sinners. We'll know who we've offended. We'll know that we're maggots. We're worms. We're filthy rags. Every good thing I've ever did is filthy rags. That's menstruation cloths. God doesn't use terms that ain't easy to understand. Everything I've done is a dog going back and eating its vomit. Is that graphic enough? It's words he used. We must be taught who Christ is. Exact opposite of everything. High, holy, perfect, exalted, right now on his throne in glory. He never had an ill word, an unkind word. He never had an ill action. He always trusted the Father. Always. Daylight, when he dreamed at night. He trusted the Father. Every look he ever had. Somebody never said nothing to him, and he went, Never. We don't understand what perfection is until we understand him. We still don't get a grasp on it, but we start seeing him. We see who we are and we see who he is. Outside of being taught by God, natural man thinks too highly of our own righteousness, of our own holy good deeds. We say, surely at some point I've done something to make God happy. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Those not taught of God get very offended by this. You can have absolutely no righteousness of your own. It doesn't exist. And whatever you think is righteousness, whatever you think sanctification, whatever you think holiness that you did, you can't be in God's presence with it. He won't have it. You must have the righteousness of another. The Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Sitkenu. That's got to be your name. You have to be His bride to be in God's presence. This comes only by God's grace, giving us the faith of Christ to come to Him, to believe on Him, to trust Him, and be made one with Him. That comes from Him. Christ preached this, and it was so offensive that at the end of this chapter, all the disciples, that they said, we love Jesus, they left Him. Thousands and thousands of people. It was 12 left, and one of them was a devil. Imagine. Would you call that a successful ministry in our day? You got 25,000 people sitting there, and every one of them got so mad at you and fed up with the God you preached, and they packed their toys up and they went home. And you got 11 left, 12, as far as we know at the time, and he looks at them and says, you going to go too? don't sound like a soul winner, does it? That might change the theme of the 1950s preaching in this country, huh? You must have the righteousness of another, His righteousness. God must not only give you an ear to hear the truth, to hear His word, but He's got to give you a heart to believe it and to understand it. That's what our brother asked this evening. Give us a heart to believe it and understand it. I believe you, now teach me. Teach me. Make me understand it. Lord will teach us. It is necessary. And point three, how can we be sure that this is going to take place? What promise do I have that this will happen? What if I ain't in the right place and right time and right uniform? Could I miss the boat? If the boat can be missed, I'll miss it. Do I have a promise that I know that this will take place? Look at verse 45. It is written in the prophets. God wrote it. And they shall be taught of God. If God wrote it, it's promised. And if He promised it, it must come to pass. That seems elementary, don't it? If He wrote it, that's a promise. If He promised it, it's going to come to pass. What's that going to look like? I don't know, but it's going to come to pass. Some of these things I don't understand. We see through that glass darkly, don't we? But I can tell you what, it's going to come to pass. What's He speaking of here? What prophet wrote of this? Well, Isaiah wrote it, said, and all thy children, this is God speaking to His bride. His bride, that one He loved, that one He picked, that one He bought, He married, He gave His last name. He's speaking to His bride. He said, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. It's got something to do with peace, too, doesn't it? Inward, not outwardly. He spoke of that circumcision in Deuteronomy 30. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. and thy heart of thy seed to love the Lord God with all thy heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. That sounds like something's being taught, isn't it? It's a work he does. Ezekiel said, and I will give them one heart, and they will put a new, I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away that stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. We're born of Adam, of a stony heart. God gives that heart of flesh. He gives the ear to hear it. He gives the mind to process it. And he gives the heart that he's going to put it into. And he's going to speak into. He's going to teach, make understand. And then he gives us an eternal covenant. An eternal promise. We have this promise. This is going to happen. The prophet said that. Has it? Are you here? You rejoice in his word? You do, don't you? Who did that? He did. His promises come true, didn't it? They come to fruition. And he gave us an eternal covenant, an eternal promise. In Jeremiah 31, he said, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. And I'll write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall no longer teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. When this world's over, I ain't preaching no more. He's going to be our preacher. Ain't that something? Well, we can go to church. We can go worship God while he's looking at us. And he's going to tell us everything. He said, for they shall all know me. Every one of his children shall know him and shall be taught of him. Jeremiah said it. Ezekiel said it. Moses wrote of this. Isaiah said it. And now it's coming to pass. We watch it happen, don't we? Why? We've been taught of God. He will teach us. It's written in the prophets. We're preserved by him, and we're taught of him for eternity. What a thought. God could have just left all of mankind in their ignorance and been just. He could have sent everybody to hell after Adam's fall, and he's right. He's right. But God, in sovereign grace and sovereign mercy toward the people he loved, for his great name's sake, a number of people that outnumbers the sands of the sea. He's given an ear to hear. He's given them an eye to see Christ and given a heart to believe and trust him. And we have come to the truth. This promise of God teaching his children has been fulfilled. Does that offend you? No, it doesn't. Who's taught of God? That's a good sign that they ain't offended them, huh? Who's taught of God? He teaches. He must teach. It's sure that he's going to teach. Then who's he going to teach? It says there in verse 45, John 6, 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. All of them. We know this isn't every person without exception. We know so. All but the 12 standing there end up listening to our Lord speak this and leave. Again, this is not a head knowledge. This is a heart work. I've heard pastors tell of election and the blood redemption of Christ and God saved a people. I've had a lot of questions this week about election. And I've heard several say things that aren't incorrect, but it's like they're reading tax code. Like, I want to get them off out of that pulpit and say, do you believe what you just said? I had no hope of being in the presence of the God I offended. But God chose a people. And he ain't going to lose one of them. All of them, A-double-L, shall be taught. All shall be. What's it mean when God says shall? It shall come to pass. It's happened. Take it to the bank, as my dad said. It's done. It's done. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Who is all that are taught of God? All of God's elect. All that were given to him before time was. All that he foreknew. Those he foreloved before the foundation of the world. All those that through the blood of Christ, that lamb slain before the foundation of the world, will be presented holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Presented before him in love. Every one of them. Those that are set apart before time. Sanctified. God Almighty said, these are mine. See this, people? It's mine. That's set apart. That's anointed. Mine. My people. They shall be taught and they shall come to Christ for salvation. You think they're going to go somebody else? Another Jesus? He's going to give you something to do? You ain't saved. That's what that is. That's called damnation. Well, it's so close. Damnation. Underscore. Write it down. It's false. Mark it. Run away. He'll make them come to Him. This is prophesied of old too, isn't it? Isaiah said, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." They'll be calling and saying, "Let's go to His house. Let's walk in His paths. Be taught about His ways." Is that me? Do I want to go to the house where God's worshipped and hear Him speak and teach me something? You want to be taught something? Is that you? Did we go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob? Why are we here? Why am I here? Why are you here? Did I want somebody to see me here today? Did I want to show up to church so that so-and-so would think that I came to church today? That way they'd know. Did I want you all to hear me sing so fancy? Did I want you all to see me play guitar? I learned a new little lick, changing from D to G. Did I want you to hear that? If it's a first Sunday, do I want to have somebody eat all my fancy vittles? I want to know how good I can bake, how good I can cook. Did I come not to disappoint a parent? I've done that a whole bunch. There's a couple of years there. I went to church. I said, let's keep mom and dad off my back. Got to keep them happy. I live in their house. I eat their food. It's only right that I go, but I don't want them nagging me. I was watching a TV show this week. Young teenage girl, based back in the 80s, young teenage girl was caught up in some bus, comes around, picks people up, takes some religious place. They got religion. And the parents asked her, "What do you do there?" And she said, "Mostly we sit around and complain and eat snacks." Out of the mouth of babes. What's most organized religion? It's a social club, so we can sit around and complain. And I saw at one church up Louisville, got Starbucks. go get you a Frappuccino or something. Good night. Did I come to the house of God of Jacob to do all those things, or did I come for Him to teach me in my heart and walk in His path and worship His Son? That's the reason we're here. We ain't here to sing. We ain't here to do anything else but worship God. What if there's some hindrances? Well, that's called the ministry. Try to get rid of the troubles, the things that bother the ministry. The ministry is the troubles. We're here to worship God. That's my prayer for everyone that comes through that door, including me. I ain't nothing special. I'm a voice. I'm a mouthpiece. I'm a tuba. Including me. For Him to teach me in the heart. That He'd give me a desire. And He'd open my ears and speak to me. And to teach me His ways. What ways? What ways do I need to be taught of? His righteousness. Christ. I need to be taught about His ways of salvation. Is that a step process? Well, you got to do this first. You got to wait 6 months. No, Christ. Him. I want to know the way of being secure eternally. This ain't a feel-good moment for Wednesdays and Sundays. I want to know that I'm His forever. Christ is my surety. I want to know the way of peace. Jehovah Shalom. I want to know Him. I want to be taught of Him. There's all kinds of practical stuff. Books written and preached. It's just nonsense. You want to be taught how to be a good husband? I could write you books on it. You want to be a good parent? I could tell you all kinds of things that God says. But I'm going to have to be taught first how Christ loved the church before I can be a good husband. I'm going to have to first be taught how He is my Heavenly Father. I know not to give my children a scorpion if they ask for a fish. And I'm evil. That's what He said, wasn't it? I need to learn Him. I need to learn Him. Then we'll get all that other stuff sorted. Not a single person taught by God and caused to come to Christ will ever be separated from Him. When He does this work, it ain't ever going to, no matter what. You ain't going to be separated from it. I need to talk that. You need to talk that? What about tomorrow? I wrote down there repeatedly and I underlined it a bunch of times. Over and over and over again. When I look to me, this ain't no way going to happen. I don't even look to him. To look to him. Who are all that are taught, all that are given to Christ, and all that come to him. That's what he says. Fifthly, what does he teach? What's his lesson? We're not willingly to come. We're not able to come. But what's his name? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. It's his work. We will learn. We will learn that. And we will learn that when we learn, he's the one that taught us. If we start getting a handle on something, God taught us. People that brag on what understanding they've come to, they are not taught of God. I've really dug deep, and I think I've got some big pearls here. You ain't taught of God. If you found it, you ain't taught of God. People say they come to Christ by their own strength, by their own thoughts, by their own decisions. I decided to come to Christ. I decided to start going to church. I just picked myself up by the bootstraps and I went down to that church building. You're not taught of God. How do you know that you are fill in the blank? How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're kept? How do you know you're secure? How do you know you're holy? How do you know you're doing God's will? If it begins with I, probably ain't right. David, I told you this already. David said, thy people, not all people, your people shall be willing in the day of your power. Your power. God's going to do all this. Lord will make his people happy volunteers. I pray today for somebody. I pray for whoever listens to this message. Today might be that day. He makes you a happy volunteer. You willing to come to it? People talk about personal righteousness. Well, we got righteousness that God gives us, but we got personal righteousness. Phooey. Phooey. Someone that talks about all they've done for the Lord needs to be taught of God. Here's a person that's taught of God. We read this at the beginning of service. David wrote in Psalm 71, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I don't know how long I'm going to live. But however many days he makes me live, as he keeps me, I'm going to tell about his righteousness. Tell about what he's done. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. When are you going to go to Christ? In his strength and his power when he makes it happen, when he teaches you. I will make mention of thy righteousness of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. Now also, is he done? Well, I got saved. Check the block. That's like getting a polio vaccine or something. I'm good to go now. No, that's how David started. From his youth, the Lord taught him. And he cried out to him, and he says, now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. God didn't change. Until I've showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. We don't stop meeting Christ, and we don't stop declaring his holiness, his might, his victory. Don't ever quit. I don't want to be in the mix. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. I don't want to declare anything about me. I want to declare him. John the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness. Christ said, among them are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Speaking of himself. Ain't nobody born of woman, born of Adam, greater than John the Baptist. This man had somewhere. If he'd have said, I'm the greatest that ever walked the earth, he's telling the truth. He ain't bragging. And they said, who are you? He said, I'm nobody. I'm a voice. I don't like being called pastor. I've brought this up several times in the bulletin. I remember I've changed that. Remember I told you all that? It said, Pastor Kevin Thacker. Kevin Thacker, comma, pastor. Now, if you introduce me that way, that's fine. That's what I am. But I don't introduce myself that way. I don't like word getting out on me. I don't want to be in the way. I don't want me to have anything to do with it. I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody to save anybody. Come to him. Here's his righteousness. What about you? Don't worry about me. About him. Come to him. What's the result to being taught of God? He says in verse 45, John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God, every man. Therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. This is the gracious result to all wretched sinners. Boy, I'd like to find my man. Somebody just can't get out of bed or so depressed because of what they are. I got good news. God's made you that way. He's made you to see that all wretched sinners, they've been convinced of their sin, what they truly are. They've heard that. Those, they hear from the Father. They hear from the Father. What do they hear? What do they hear? Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. You tired of fighting? Lay down your shotguns. The war's over. That her iniquity's pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Double. You wouldn't just, the reset button wouldn't hit. Your account wouldn't bring, brought back to zero. You was made holy. You were bought with a price. The water and the blood from His wounded side which flowed. Be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath. Save me, Lord. And make me pure. That songwriter got it. I don't ever want to sin again. That new man ain't. Can't do it. Why? It's His incorruptible seed. Ain't mine. Ain't the one I picked out at the store. It's what He put in me. The duty of a gospel preacher is to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. Isaiah had a hard time. 39 chapters. He wrote, woe to you. Woe to you. Woe to you. And in chapter 40, the Lord said, you tell them this. Comfort them. Their war is accomplished. You've been fighting your whole life, and you ain't won a battle. You can't win a battle, and you don't want to win the battle. And He said, this is my war, and I won. Go tell them that. We are taught what we are. We're seeing. We're taught who God is. He's holy. We hear from the Father of our comfort, of our victory, and we learn why that victory happened. Christ's blood and righteousness. His person. Who He is and His work. What He accomplished at Calvary for His people. He did it. Billions of people right now have been told in this generation, you are saved in those baptism waters. When did God teach you in the heart? I don't know, but I was baptized back in... Well, what are you looking to? You looking to God that taught you? You looking to a baptism? They're told they're saved by getting baptized. They're told they're saved by joining a church, by walking an aisle, by shaking my hand. These empty hands putting on somebody's empty head ain't going to do nothing. That's mockery of God is what that is. It's men putting themselves in between man and God as a priest. There's one high priest, and it's Christ. They're told if you kept the Sabbath day, you'll be holy, you can be with God. You find salvation by a certain program you attend, a discipleship program. You read your Bible every day. You be a good little boy or girl. Whatever. Billions and billions of people are told that on a weekly basis in this world. Right now, God teaches that salvation, that accomplished warfare, is in Christ alone. And it's finished. He fought the battle, and the battle's over. Speak comfort to the hearts of my people. A goat will butt and say, but I got to do something. We'll keep butting. A defenseless sheep will say, amen. Does that offend you? That don't offend me none. War's over. I've been in war. I don't like it. It's done. Bullets done flying. Lord won. We hear, we learn, then we come. We come to Christ through believing on Him, through trusting His blood, through trusting His finished work of righteousness for His people, and trusting His sacrifice. It was all that God required, and there ain't another one ever needed. It's Him. We come completely empty-handed. We come to Him with nothing. Naked in our sin. Naked in our own filthy rags of holiness. It's just nothing, and we cry out to God to save us. If you don't, He ain't taught you nothing yet. We come knowing. Knowing. That's what Peter said. Or Paul said, we know, I know whom I have believed. I know. John said, I know. That way you may know. We come knowing that He alone is marvelous. He alone is awesome, worthy of all. He alone delights to show mercy. We know He receives all that the Father gives Him. I know that. He said so. We come to Him knowing He will never cast one out that comes to Him. You come to Him, He'll never cast you out. And no one can pluck them from His hand. Isaiah said, "For a small moment I have forsaken thee." Lord spoke through Isaiah. "For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." And His great mercy, He'll gather His people. He'll convict them of what they are, of who Christ is. If that judgment's done, He'll speak to their hearts, comfort. Comfort. And we'll learn why all this is possible. Why He can be so just and justify me. Because of His Son. Because of what He willfully come and do. I pray God will teach His children what great sinners we are. And what a great Savior Christ is. And then you know what? I want to be taught again. I forget so easy. It's Wednesday. Can I make it till Sunday?
I don't know.
Can I make it? I can't. I need to hear again. Desperately. Do you? I want to be taught of Him.